You know, it's such a negative world. It's a positive day in a negative world. And we have a chance to just put it all aside and really thank God for all the blessings that He's bestowed on us. And our November series here is Confident Expectation of Good Hope. You know, there's the worldly definition of hope, which is, well, I hope so. A kind of a resignation is that if so, hope so. Well, maybe, maybe not. It's the kind of thing. It's very iffy, the world's hope. But Bible hope, God's hope, the hope that we have in Him is a confident expectation of good. It means we know it's going to happen just like we know the sun is going to come up tomorrow. That's the Bible type of hope that we have. We don't see our glorified body, but we hope in it because we know it's coming. You're going to be astounded too. That thing is a machine. An eternal glorified body. And it'll reflect the glory of God, just even superior to the way Adam's did in the Garden of Eden.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
That was paradise. So, confident expectation of good. And this is part one of the series called The Image of Hope. You know, you can't do anything without imagining it first. God gave you an imagination. It's a big part of your mind. You don't think like in numbers. You don't think in words. You think in pictures. I can prove that to you. If I said cat, you'd probably think of the little gray cat that you got. But if I said big tabby cat, now you know what we're talking about. You think in pictures. You think this way. You don't think C-A-T, do you? No, you think in pictures. Images. And we need an image of hope. That we need to build that hope into us and let that hope form a new image in us. How many of you did not see this movie? Called The Shawshank Redemption. And that guy, Morgan Freeman, plays a character called Red, and he committed a double murder when he was 16, 17 years old, got sent away for the rest of his life. The guy who is talking about hope is a guy named Andy Dufresne, and he was innocent. He was framed for the murders of his cheating wife and her lover. And he was sentenced to 2 back-to-back life terms. An innocent man. You talk about hopelessness? Any words of hope coming from an innocent man doomed to 2 back-to-back life sentences? I mean, hope isn't even on the table. But yet he figured out a way to keep hope alive in himself. And it had to do with a Mozart aria from Marriage of Figaro that was two ladies singing his most beautiful aria you could ever hear. And he used that to keep him alive. You know, there's a lot of things that God has given you to keep you going, to keep you propelling forward, to build His image into your life, into your mind. And it's a powerful thing. Turn with me in the scriptures to Zechariah chapter 9. And when you know, when we open the scriptures, we really are taking God up on an invitation that He has issued to anybody who will open His word, and that is an invitation to know Him. I don't know God by what I see with these eyes. I don't know God by what I feel, either emotionally or with these physical hands. I don't know God by what I hear out there. I know God by what He says about Himself.
Right.
That's how I know about God.
Amen.
So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. And so in Zechariah 9, verse 12, it says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Oh, there's a powerful promise here. The invitation to come to a fortress, come to a stronghold. That's what they called fortresses and walled cities back in those days. They called them strongholds. They walls around you, not to imprison you, but to call you into the freedom of his presence. That's what a stronghold is. It's a fortress. The fortress of that God is calling us to this morning is called a fortress of hope. A fortress of hope. He wants to take time so that you can rest, knowing that you're in a safe place, knowing that you're in his place, in his presence, where no foe can come. But you're invited. You're invited to come into his fortress and to receive from him and rest while he builds an image of hope into you. His hope. It's a living hope. It's not something that's pie in the sky. No. This is food on your plate that you can eat from. The provisions of God so that he can bring you to a place of hope. Hope that can carry you through anything that you're facing. Hope that can carry you through the next job interview or whatever it is. Hope that you can take and apply to your life. Hope that gives you the God-sent desires into your life that you can fulfill. Hope that carries you. The pathway to any kind of restoration in your life, any kind of need to push forward, begins with hope. Just think where you'd be without hope, without the desires that hope produces, without the images that hope produces. Where would you be? Would you be working in the job that you are? Hope. Hope is a powerful thing. You see two guys here in that video. One had hope. And he used that hope to carry him through unbelievably horrific circumstances that he faced in prison. I'm not even going to go into those. And then another guy who was totally guilty but yet had given up hope. He said it's dangerous. You know, the world, doctors will tell you don't build up your hopes. They'll tell you, they will do everything they can to strip you from your hope. But if they can do that, then they can strip you of your faith. Because faith won't work without hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Without hope, your faith has nothing to give substance to. You need hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope is a goal setter where faith can come in and make those things that God has provided for you in his covenant and make a reality in your life. You know, whether you're in a prison of walls and bars or a prison of sin, they both do the same thing. Those prison walls separate you from humanity, from society, from the public. But the walls of sin do the same thing. It isolates you. You can be in a crowd of people and be the loneliest one in the crowd because of your sin. Your consciousness, always relating to sin and never able to relate to the hope that's within you. You know, you've been invited to a fortress filled with angels, filled with the power of God, filled with the presence of God. You've been invited to his fortress, his stronghold, to become not a prisoner of the world or a prisoner of sin, but a prisoner of hope. Oh, a prisoner of hope. This is good. Have you ever seen yourself as a prisoner of hope? You know, they say he's just an endless or a hopeless positive person. What do they call that? A positive?
Optimist,
yeah. He's just a hopeless optimist. Yeah, well, I'll take it. As long as I've got to be in this life, in this world, we're all sentenced to death, by the way. Did you know that? We all carry a death sentence upon us. And as long as we have to be in this life, I might as well do it, walking with God in the hope that he's given us. That hope that produces His plan in our life, that keeps pushing us forward, the hope that keeps propelling us, the hope that makes avenues for faith to operate. You know, it says this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. This is the New Living Translation. I really kind of like it in this context. He says, so God has given both His promise and His oath. Pretty powerful. These two things are unchangeable. His promise is unchangeable. His oath is unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for what? For refuge, protection, into His fortress. Fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain. God's not playing hide and seek. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Are you a prisoner of hope yet? Are you getting there? Into His inner sanctuary. This is God in you. This is the tender heart of God that He's calling you. Sit on my lap. Let me put my arms around you. Did you see yourself at the table with Jesus this morning? Where do you see the Father? God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us, and He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I'm not going to go to Melchizedek, but just for time's sake, just say this. The only record we ever have is receiving tithes and blessing Abraham beyond his wildest dreams. That's what God wants to do with you. But look at this. There are many images that we can build into our souls. Worldly things or godly things. You can be filled with this world, have your eyes filled with this world. And you know what? If you fill your eyes with this world, you'll never have enough. Because all it does is feed the lust, the desires of this world. And they're never, never satisfied. But those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied, Jesus said. That feels good. You can fill yourself with worldly things. You can fill yourself with godly things. You are a free moral agent to do so. So if God wanted to do that, why wouldn't He just do that in the first? And no, He's giving that assignment to you. You are the one who needs to possess your soul in honor, to possess your vessel in honor. How do you do that? Honoring Him. That's the assignment He's given to you. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's simple. But the devil comes in and starts to foul it up because he can't. He wants to. The Bible gives us a solid image of what hope is and what hope does. It is an anchor. And it does what an anchor does. Get a good image of this. Get a good image of an anchor and what it does. You know, one thing, the first thing an anchor does, it keeps you from getting shipwrecked. You guys there?
Yes.
Good. It keeps you from being shipwrecked. An anchor can't stop you from being rocked with the winds and the waves of the ocean or a big lake. But it can hold your position in the storm. Amen?
Amen.
Hope is powerful. Hope can be the only anchor that will hold you when friends fall away, when family ties and loyalties and so forth disappear, and you're left all alone. You know the Apostle Paul? He was left all alone. Everybody abandoned him. He wrote to his son Timothy. He says, all forsaken. He says, but Luke stayed with me. And then he wrote in another place too when he was in prison. The Lord stood with me in the prison and encouraged me, saying, Paul, as you have witnessed for me faithfully in Jerusalem, you'll also witness for me in Rome before Caesar. Just think, if you were the Apostle Paul carrying the message to stand before the emperor of the very empire that's nailed you to the cross, and you're delivering his goods to that tyrant. What a privilege, what an honor. All have left me. Luke alone is with me. That's when your anchor will start to do its job, because Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We are never alone. Trust safely in that anchor of hope. That's number one. It'll keep you from being shipwrecked. Number two is it'll keep you from drifting. Drifting along with the currents of this world, with the trends of this world. The currents of this world will challenge your anchor. Negativity, blame shifting, excuses. These are the winds and waves that drive the currents of this world. Complaining, division, corruption, lies, deceit, power grabbing, people seeking dominance over others, cancel culture, the pandemic that has shaken the health and wealth of nations. Social issues that have sparked the riots, ending in destruction, ashes, murder, confusion, neighborhoods coming under siege, destruction of monuments and statues, all based on ignorance and illiteracy. Like I said, the currents of this world demand that our hope become our anchor. You have that image working of an anchor. Without an anchor, a ship drifts along until it's grounded on a reef or broken on the rocks. You don't want to be there. It may seem comfortable to drift along with the currents of the world, get along to go along. I'm hitting that one pretty strong today. Get along to go along, or go along to get along. The pressure for us to get along by going along is the pressure we need to resist. It's the very thing that anchor holds us in position to resist. And it's not you that have the ability to it's that hope that lives in you, that hope that is big inside of you, that keeps you in the position that you need to be when the winds and waves start driving. Life is so brief, it goes so quickly. You know, a change of season is upon us right now. We're heading from fall into a winter period time here, right? Well, the season for our departure from this world comes sooner than you think. Amen? This life is the briefest thing we'll ever do. And before you know it, it's here. I never thought I'd get this old. When I was a rock and roller back in the 60s and 70s, I never thought I'd get this old. So who would want to be that old anyway? You can't even do anything. You know, the older I get, the happier I get. The happier, you know, the Bible says your youth was renewed like the eagles. Woo! I ever tell you that story about the eagle and how his youth is renewed? There is a certain species, in case you haven't heard this, there's a certain species of eagle, and when they get into an adult stage in their life, they start to develop this growth on their beak, and it causes them to lose their equilibrium. And because of that, they'll overshoot their prey. They can't do anything. They'll try to hit their nest and fly. You know, it's life is a challenge. Just getting something to eat is a challenge. And they enter into a stage of depression. And they'll sit for a day, maybe even 2 days, and they'll sit with their wings spread and their head down. You can tell when an animal is depressed. He just gives up. And then for some reason, they just take off. They just mount up and they go and they fly so high you can't even see them anymore. And the only thing that they can think of is that eagle has determined, well, I'll just fly higher than I've ever flown, and then I'll just crash to the earth and get it over with. I'm done. But what happens is when they get to a certain amount of altitude, that boil on their nose breaks. And all of a sudden, their equilibrium comes back to them. Their strength, and now they can see themselves doing things they couldn't see before.
Yeah.
First thing they do is kill something and have a feast and start getting strong again. And their youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes you need to give up, surrender all of your ability to God. And get to that place where you want to fly high and just get rid of your own purpose.
Yeah.
And you might discover something really new. You might discover things that He's birthed in you when you were born again. That up until this point in time, you were never able to even know about, let alone enjoy. And you can be freer than a prisoner in jail. You can be a prisoner in jail and be freer than somebody who's outside of jail. Andy was. Andy Dufresne. He was free. Oh, he had a plan, though. He had a plan. Took him less than... He was in for 2 life sentences, and he actually devised a way to escape. And it took him almost 20 years to do it. But he escaped from that prison, from the injustice of a society that put him there. And he went to his paradise down in Mexico and started a little fishing charter business with a hotel and everything. Not only that, but the crooked, corrupt official here who was raking in all kinds of money, filtered all through Andy because he was a banker. And he was a brilliant man. And he knew how to do everything financially. He escaped with almost $400,000 of the warden's money and then turned the whole system on the warden. It was a stroke of genius. It was the Shawshank Redemption. You know, God will take your side when you're a prisoner. When you're a prisoner in sin, He doesn't condemn you.
Right.
He doesn't say, well, I'm just going to punish you because you didn't take advantage of my redemption. He doesn't do that. What does he do? Come out into the fortress. You'll be safe here. I want to build something into you. I see value in you. I see something in you that you haven't seen. You are loved. You are the apple of my eye. Come into my fortress. Come into this walled city where you can be safe. This is a safe zone. And let me build something into you that you didn't know you had. Let me flourish that in you. He's not a condemner, He's a forgiver.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh. That hope keeps us from being shipwrecked. It keeps us from drifting. Isn't that good? And it'll preserve all of your accomplishments. Nothing you've ever accomplished in Jesus ever goes off the table. No forward progress has ever been taken away just because you fell or made a mistake. It'll preserve. When you throw out an anchor and it goes to the bottom, what happens? It digs in. The stronger the pull, the more it digs in. The stronger the pull, the more it does what it was designed to do. That hope is designed to keep you stationary.
Yes.
in a powerful storm or current or surge. It's designed to do it. Hope will help you resist the pull of temptation. And trials. The pull will actually help you dig deeper into God and keep you from losing the headway that you've already made. Isn't that rich? Isn't that good? So it'll preserve your accomplishments. Number 4 is it will keep you soberly single-minded. You know, many hear a message like this, and they'll grab a scripture off the refrigerator or something like that, and they'll throw it out there like an anchor trying to hold them, and it doesn't really hold because they haven't built it into them yet. You know? This is a lifestyle.
Right.
It's not a quick fix plan for this or that or the other thing. This isn't like a slot machine or anything like that. This is a lifestyle that He's called us to. You know, Moses had worked in miracles. I mean, there were miracles. I mean, you hold up your staff at the Red Sea sometimes, see what happens. The presence of God and the pillar of fire and the cloud by the day and all of these things. And just battling against these opposing forces as they traveled for wherever they traveled. But you know, most of Moses' life was very natural. Possessing his vessel in honor. Having a hope. Look, he gave up being a prince in Egypt. He gave up the easy life for going on the backside of a wilderness with some stiff-necked, arrogant people who wanted to kill him. They didn't have any use for them. Look at what President Trump, I mean, look at the comparison here. He gave up a life of a prince to come to this cesspool in Washington. My apologies to all cesspools everywhere. I mean, it's a toilet. It really is. It's a septic tank. And that's what you get when you try to make something good with human effort. And it always backfires. The welfare system seemed like a good idea until it created a fatherless generation, gangs, and everything else.
Yep.
It'll keep you soberly single-minded. Don't just take a scripture and throw it out there. Be single. Take that thing and make it your own. Be single-minded. A double-minded man is unstable. Single-minded man is stable. There's no quick fixes. What does that represent? It means obedience to the word. You've got to have obedience to the word. If you're not obedient to the word, it's like having an anchor that is thrown out there where the rope is loose. And a little pull here, a little pull there, a little temptation here, a little sin here, not doing what the word says. And pretty soon you're loose and you're flapping around and you'll end up shipwrecked on a reef or the rocks or something and have the bottom ripped right out of your boat. And then you say, why did God do this to me? I beg your pardon? He didn't. He's handed you a hope to keep you stationary. Let that image of hope, let it really anchor your soul in these things, and it'll guide you in place. That hope will keep you anchored to prevent you from being shipwrecked. It'll keep you anchored to prevent you from drifting. It'll keep you stationary, a hope that'll keep you anchored and preserve your progress. It's a hope that will keep you constant, single-minded, continuing in God's plan in your life. Doesn't that give you peace and rest? You've been invited to the fortress of God, to the walls that don't imprison you, but the walls that liberate you. This is a good. The image of hope. Let's look at Abraham here in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God cannot break his promise or his oath. He gave his promise and his oath to Abraham. Abraham somehow knew that he couldn't break it. But it was 25 years from the time of the promise to the time the son actually came. And they, both him and Sarah were beyond their years. She was 90 years old. That's got to be the record for childbirth. Not only for her, but for him. But you know what? Look at this. When Abraham went to some certain place, the king wanted Sarah in his harem. Now, she had to be, what, 75, 80 years old? Think of the restorative work that God did on Sarah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Ready? Well, get that hope working. It'll anchor you to that truth, and you can claim that. Why is it in the Bible? If it's not for you. God, what he does for one, he's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for anybody. He'll do it for you. God will do it for me. Hallelujah. So Abraham, against hope or against all probability of anything like that happening, he still believed God. And somehow it was going to happen. He just knew God spoke it. Joseph, betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, spent 13 years in and out of prison, falsely accused, just like Andy Dufresne. Falsely accused. We see that today, don't we? Those who are accusing others are really doing the same thing themselves. politicians, people accusing others of what they themselves either are doing or have done. Andy Dufresne stayed alive and motivated by hope. So did Joseph in his prison. Joshua and Caleb, the only two Hebrew men who left Egypt who actually entered into the promised land. An entire generation was born and died before they went in, except Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they had the hope of God in them.
Amen.
They were anchored to something more powerful than their own opinions. What they could see with their eyes, the giants. If the giants were the ones who kept them out of land, they would have kept Joshua and Caleb out too. Those giants are nothing compared to the hope that is in you that'll keep you anchored to the most powerful person in the universe. That's Jesus. Psalm 16, verse 9 says, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." Your body will get rest from the hope that you have. It's the peace that ministers and gets rid of that tense, frustrated, worn-out worry. You can be a warrior or you can be a worrier. Amen?
Yeah.
Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You want a strong heart? Not just your blood pump, but the heart to do what you want to do. Do what you need to do. Do what's required of you. If you want the heart to be able to do that, hope will keep you anchored to that ability. Psalm 33, verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." You ever think the Lord isn't hearing your prayers, like his eye is not on you? Like you're throwing these prayers up into the air and nothing's there to receive them? Hope. Hope will start to have you focused on who's focused on you. There'll be a connection there, and your faith will work more freely. Where are we? Psalm 38:15. "For in you, Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God." You want answers to your prayers. You want the Lord to hear your prayers? Start hoping in God. Convert the worry to hope. Convert the despair to hope. Convert the questions to hope. Convert them. You have that image of hope in your life. You need to be a prisoner to hope. Boy, you know what? Everybody give me a smile for a second. Okay, that's better. You're like... Okay, I'm walking in the light. Your petitions, your pleas, your prayers are not based on his sovereignty. They're based on your hope. Just saying. Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Well, I bet you Paul and Silas took advantage of this one night in the prison.
Amen.
If you're cast down, you need hope. Hope will minister peace to your soul. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that passes the pain in your body or your inability. The answer to many people's needs we have in this life is to restore our hope in God. Get scriptures of hope. Start building them into your life. Start reading them, saying them out loud. These are some of them. If you're cast down, the conclusions are these. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and without hope, our faith has nothing to give substance to.
Right.
Our faith depends on and works in proportion to our hope. This is why the devil tries so hard to steal your hope, to rip it off, to get you involved in things that work against your hope, that try to loosen that string to that anchor of hope for your soul. Tries to get you going around the mountain rather than going on top of it. To be obstructed by the mountain rather than speaking to it. Hope is a good thing. Maybe even the best of things. Our faith depends on and works in proportion to our hope. The things we hope for, those are the things that faith gives substance to. What's your hope today? What hope do you have? Having a good job, having a good income, being productive. Build those things and build that vision into your soul. Those are the things that faith gives substance to. Hope is the thermostat that regulates the furnace of faith. Charles Capps gave that illustration. I love it. It's a powerful one. Hope is what keeps us anchored, not to just the possibility of good things happening, but against all probability, knowing they'll happen. Don't ask me to repeat that. The hope that challenges the impossibility and makes all things possible. The hope that sees through all improbability the absolute reality of what you hope for. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close with that. Image of hope. You can't do anything without imagining. You've got to take your imagination and open it up to the Word of God and let His truth get built into your heart. Hope will come, and that hope for the things that God has set you to do will become a reality. This is good stuff. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, Father, for the timeless power of your Word, the eternal nature of your Word, and the decisions it gives us to either be temporal minded or eternally minded, because our decisions do weigh in eternity. We choose today hope to be rid of the things that have anchored us to this world. We want to be anchored to your will, to your truth, to a real Father who loves us, to a real Savior who died for us, and a real Holy Spirit who empowers us, who wants so much to be part of all our life and give meaning to a life that the devil has counted as his own playground, is now surrendered to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, who comes and fights for us, who invites us into his stronghold, into his fortress, where in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, pleasures evermore. Yes. Thank you for the hope that lies within us. Lord, help us to build that hope higher and higher and higher, because it is a living hope. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father, for your Word. We ask, Father, that it grow up and become greater than the hopelessness, greater than the spirit, greater than the worry. Because it is the hope of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father.